From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Yesterday, you might have noticed, was the primary election here in Illinois. Or maybe you didn't notice, because most of you live in areas where there were not a lot of competitive races. To be sure, there were exceptions. If you're a Republican in far southern Illinois, for example, you had to decide whether to choose five-term incumbent Congressman Mike Bost or challenger Darren Bailey. And if you live in Chicagoland, you might have had an interesting state legislative race or had to decide the direction of the prosecutor's office in Cook County. Among the best people to talk about this with is Rick Pearson, chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. So I'm happy to say he joins me now. Rick, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. We'll be spending a brisk 15 minutes on this topic and then moving on to talk about young voters. So if you have something to say about the election results yesterday, give us a call now, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Rick, let's begin top of the ticket. Perhaps the most or the least interesting race, I should say. Biden got 91% of the Democratic primary vote. Trump got 81%. Our colleagues at WBEZ did say 100,000 voters who pulled Democratic ballots in Chicago and Cook County did not vote for Biden. And on the Republican side, 14% of the vote went to Nikki Haley, who dropped out of the race 2 weeks ago. They seem to have the nominations locked up. How significant do you see these results as, Rick?
Well, I mean, they are telling because we are talking about partisan primaries, and these are supposed to be the diehard partisans that are the most dedicated about going to vote in primary elections. But that having been said, yeah, the nominations were wrapped up before the election even got to Illinois. Now it's a matter of trying to see how energizing the base plus the fait accompli that these are. What does that hold for the general election when, you know, these are the choices and obviously the universe of voters is much larger?
Yeah, we got a text message from Jane in Urbana who, or I should say an email, who said, I voted today, and this was yesterday, and despite the fact that I've volunteered in the past for both President Biden and Representative Budzinski, that's Central Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski, for their campaigns, I could not vote for them today, she said. Although I appreciate both of their recent calls for a ceasefire, the words are empty if they continue to vote to send military aid to Israel, despite the horrendous and unprecedented loss of civilian life in the desperate humanitarian crisis in Gaza, end quote. Rick, could Democratic dissatisfaction or maybe the tiny wing of never-Trumpers in the Republican Party, I mean, could that be a significant problem for them this November?
Well, there's no doubt that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is certainly a very big factor for a number of Democrats. And obviously, this is one way to, you know, express your displeasure. There was a, you know, movement by some about writing in Gaza on there instead of the voting for president, which those votes don't even get counted. So it's kind of a very silent protest. But that having been said, again, I think when the reality comes to November and these are the choices and one of these two is going to be president of the United States, is there a line that gets drawn over this? Or, you know, if you're a Democrat, you know, do you want to help Trump? If you're an anti-Trump person, do you want to help Biden?
Yeah, and I suppose we should say that all that really only matters in about six states anyway. It's not like Illinois or Texas are going to be where this election is decided. It's Michigan, it's Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, a few other states. All right, let's give some time now to the congressional races. And we'll begin in your part of Illinois, up in the Chicago area. Incumbent Democratic Congressman Chuy Garcia fended off a challenge from Chicago Alderman Raymond Lopez. What was that about?
Well, it's a kind of an interesting thing is, you know, Ray Lopez leans more of a, though a Democrat, Alderman leans conservative. So his argument was that Chuy Garcia, who is, of course, more of the progressive socialist wing of the Democratic Party, that he does not adequately represent the district. And of course, these were districts almost specifically drawn for Chuy Garcia in this case, for the a very large Latino population. And Lopez, He was an ally of Paul Vallis in the mayor's race, and Vallis also represented more of the center-right kind of politics. And so it's not really, to me, surprising that Garcia wins 70 to 30 in that.
There was also a challenge to a longtime incumbent, Danny Davis. I think he's 82 years old, but he easily defeated his rivals, right? Do you see any greater significance there? Go ahead.
Well, and in fact, and this is one thing, Keena Collins was is a Democratic activist, and she was making her third bid, and she finished third this time. Melissa Conyers Irvin, the city treasurer, also weighed in. She has a lot of baggage. And it was kind of obvious to me that this was going to be one where those two were basically going to split out the vote. And Davis won convincingly with over 50% of the vote.
And then on the Republican side of the ledger, there are still Republicans in Illinois, although you have to go to the southern end of the state to find them in Congress, at least. And that's incumbent Congressman Mike Bost. He was being challenged by former Republican gubernatorial nominee Darren Bailey. I guess last I checked this morning, the AP had not called that race, though Bailey conceded and Bost declared victory. What do you make of the outcome there?
This has been very interesting. We actually, my colleague Jeremy Gorner and I went down there a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of curious, what does this say about Trumpism in a strong Trump-supporting area like this district, which is the bottom, basically bottom one third of Illinois, 34 counties, and both of them were angling to get Trump's endorsement. Both of them actually won as delegates, Trump delegates for the Republican convention. Bost ended up getting the Trump endorsement. He barely wins this thing by about 2,500 votes over Darren Bailey. And it's almost like, and Bailey, despite not getting Trump's endorsement, basically ran like he was still the loyal Trump soldier here. And I don't know what it says about Bailey. I don't know what it says about the MAGA movement. But if you really take a look at the, you want to play color in the map for this district, basically, Bost won everything to the west of I-57, and Bailey won everything to the east. And everything to the east is relatively new territory for Bost as a result of redrawing the map. It used to be represented by Mary Miller, and Mary Miller is one of the hardcore, Freedom Caucus members, which Bailey aspired to become one of those.
Yeah, we spoke on the program yesterday with John Jackson, who I know you know, longtime political scientist at Southern Illinois University, the Paul Simon Policy Institute down there. And his view on that race was Bailey sort of represented the new, these will be my words, not his, sort of the show business wing of the party where people go to Congress and then they spend most of their time doing TV appearances and launching podcasts and that sort of thing. Whereas Bost represents the older tradition of, working your way up the committee system. He's chairman of the Veterans Committee, talking about legislation that he's working on. You see that, I would imagine, playing out at all levels of Republican politics in Illinois, right?
Oh, sure. And
yeah.
in fact, I totally agree with John, and Bailey freely admitted, he was a practitioner of being a disruptor of disruptive politics. And the question is, what is that future in Republican Party where it's not about governance? Bost called himself a governing conservative, for example. But for the Bailey and the Freedom Caucus wing and the social media clicks and the TV appearances outweighs actually trying to govern. And what does that mean for the future of governing this country?
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Rick Pearson, chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune, about yesterday's primary election results, some of which are still coming in. And last I checked this morning, one of the as yet undecided races was the one to succeed Kim Fox as the state's attorney in Cook County, the chief prosecutor up there. Now, this is a regional office, and most of our listeners are downstate, although I would argue One of the reasons that the Illinois prison population, the statewide prison population, has dropped significantly in recent years is that many fewer people from Cook County are being sent to Illinois prisons. So this morning, Rick, your paper reported that retired appellate judge Eileen O'Neill Burke had a narrow lead over Clayton Harris III, who's a former prosecutor and government official. Can you just briefly talk about the dynamics of that race?
Yes, I mean, certainly Kim Fox, who has been state's attorney, has had an embattled career as state's attorney. And she comes from the, again, the progressive wing of the party, one that looks at criminal justice reform, one that looks at victim rights, but tries to look at crime is more dealing with crime is more than just sending somebody to prison. And so she adopted a number of rules that were more lenient than state law allows in terms of prosecution, things like retail theft, those kinds of things. And basically she's leaving office with not a great deal of popularity. And so kind of hovering over this is the fact that Clayton Harris was picked by Toni Preckwinkle, the Cook County Democratic chairwoman and the Cook County board president. She's also the one that had tapped Kim Fox for the job of prosecutor. So you kind of had Clayton Harris as being kind of the pseudo Kim Fox carrying on the tradition. And then you had O'Neill Burke kind of representing more of a law and order type background and pushing that. And truly, this was kind of a referendum, not only on Kim Fox's tenure, but also, I think, a referendum of voter attitudes on some of this more progressive criminal justice action and a fear of crime. That's kind of a playbook. Kind of, especially when it comes to Republicans saying Chicago is, ungovernable and full of crime.
And indeed, in that Cook County race, you do have more Republicans than you would, say, in a race that was confined just to the city of Chicago, which in the few minutes we have remaining, I do also want to touch on a proposal that voters seem to have rejected there, or at least it was running behind last I checked this morning, to raise taxes on big dollar real estate transactions with the money earmarked for helping the homeless become home full. I mean, one would have thought sort of a facile look at it, but it's progressive Chicago. Why didn't this sail through?
Well, and then here again, another kind of temperature taking on the progressive movement in Chicago. It's losing 54-45 right now. Obviously the proponents are saying there's, thousands of mail-in ballots still be counted, but it's likely not going to succeed. And I think this was also a referendum on the kind of a one-year anniversary of Mayor Brandon Johnson being in office and just kind of the tumultuous times in Chicago with issues that go beyond homelessness to the migrant population and the way that Johnson has kind of stumbled over trying to handle that. Again, a dissatisfaction with crime issues, kind of a stumbling start in his first year. And the opponents to it ran commercials basically saying, are you happy with Brandon Johnson? Do you want to hand him the power to have this tax increase? And truly, there was really no definition of where the roughly $100 million in revenue generated annually, there was no hard and fast earmarking of where that money was going to go.
Just a couple of minutes left, and I do want to touch on the sort of big picture question of turnout. It was really low, like historically low, 20% in Chicago. I saw 16% in Champaign, still more to be counted, as you mentioned, with the mail-in ballots. We got a text from John in Harvard who says, while he thinks there should be an open primary, either way, it's a citizen's duty to vote, and if you don't vote, then you have to shut up and not complain, end quote, from John in Harvard. Rick, do you see any deeper meaning in yesterday's low turnout?
One, it's the continued, I think, reflection of how politics has changed and how quote, machine politics is really kind of a relic in many cases, because patronage has diminished so much that there isn't that kind of requirement that you go vote or you lose your government job kind of thing. I do think it's also a reflection, too, of people in this divided country that we live in, of the vast majority of people don't want to wear party labels. They're independents. And they don't, even though these, the stakes are important in these races, they don't want to attach a label to themselves. And I see that trend continuing.
I suspect we will see larger turnout when we get to November this year. Rick Pearson, Chief Political Reporter at the Chicago Tribune, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Coming up after a short break, we are going to be taking a deep dive into younger voters this year, the first in a planned series looking at different voter groups this year. I also want to mention coming up tomorrow on the program, it's going to be marking 4 years since Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order took effect in the early days of COVID-19. For all the millions of people who died from COVID, there are thousands more who've been living for months or even years with long COVID. We want to hear your story. If it's affected you, leave us a voicemail. 217-300-2121 is the number. 217-300-2121. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.